The 45th Psalm, verse 1, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemy, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in the gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee with gladness and rejoicing. Shall they be brought, they shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we would ask, Lord, that we would have an understanding of these references in this chapter, and then perhaps as a congregation, Lord, we would receive instruction concerning a very important group segment of our congregation, a group of people, Lord, that we're going to draw attention to tonight. And as we challenge that group, and then as we challenge those who have influence over this group, I pray that you would use this message, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Tonight I want to preach a message I've entitled The King's Daughters, The King's Daughters. Twice in this psalm they're referenced. Of course, the king is God himself. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every single young lady that is a born-again Christian is a daughter of the king. I think that that ought to be said more than it is. I think that you young ladies ought to feel very special that not only did God make you one of his children, but he made you literally royalty when he saved you and adopted you into his family. I want to spend a little time talking to the young ladies, and one of the blessings, I think, of this ministry and my time as a preacher has been watching God just allow us to see in our congregation raised up some of the most precious and wonderful young ladies that I think I'd put them up against any of them in America. I mean that. And precious in the eyes of God, and many of them that we've been able to see in the last good night. In 2014, I'll have been here 20 years, so it's 18 now. We're going into our 19th year. Well, in that amount of time, you watch a crop or two of young ladies come up through, and it's a joy to me. It's a joy to my wife. We speak often of how thankful we are for the young ladies that God's given this ministry. I'm going to, on purpose, just take that part of our congregation and talk to them, and then talk a little bit about them to all of us. But I want to remind the entire church. I want to do some teaching. I want to help some of you young men maybe with some things concerning the young ladies here. And I pray that this will be a blessing to our church. Let me give you several things to consider tonight. Every Christian young lady is a princess. Every Christian young lady is a princess. As I mentioned, when you were saved, you became a child of the King. God the Father is your heavenly Father, and he is not just a king, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 15, God is called King of the Saints. In Hebrews 7, he's called the King of Peace. 1 Timothy 1:17, God is called King Eternal, Immortal, Invisible, the Only Wise God. And then the verse adds these words, unto the King be glory, honor, and glory forever and ever. Amen. And so the Bible establishes the fact that God is a king. And this wonderful thing that happens in salvation, where we are adopted into the family of God. Think about that. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, and may I add to that, the privilege to be the sons of God. So young ladies, when you are saved, you become royalty, divine royalty, a better kind of royalty than any person on earth can claim that has an earthly heritage or link to royalty. When you were saved, you became joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible calls Jesus your elder brother, a prince. In Acts 5:31, it said of Christ, him hath God exalted with the right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. In Acts 3:15, Jesus is called the Prince of Life. In Revelation 5, the Prince of the Kings of the Earth. And in Isaiah, he's called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, I want you to just kind of square your shoulders up a little bit. In a society that oftentimes spends way too much time putting women down, I think that this ought to elevate some things in your heart. You are important to God, young ladies. You're very precious to God. When you were saved, you were adopted into the regal family of the Creator of the universe. From that moment on, you are royalty, a child of the King, a princess, a prized possession of your Heavenly Father. And so every young lady around here is a daughter of God, a daughter of the King. Let me go on. Number two, I believe every Christian young lady should be treated like a princess. They ought to be treated like a princess. Young men, let me say a word to you. And by the way, I'm not chewing at our young men from what the observations that I have. Maybe they just behave when I'm around. I don't know. But I mean this. I think the vast majority of our young men are very good about treating our young ladies very carefully and very courteously. But you should, son. You should. Because they're daughters of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, the first two verses, we're reminded, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, and the elder women as mothers. Now notice this, young man, the younger as sisters with all purity, as sisters with all purity. I know the way the devil wants to try to teach you and train you to look at young ladies and to treat young ladies. I know the way the world does it, but you know what? You're not of the world if you're saved. You're different than the world if you're saved. Our young ladies, as they walk around here, should be treated very carefully and very sacredly by the men and the young men of our congregation. One of the chapters that we, and by the way, I added this chapter. I had 20 tenets of biblical masculinity. I gave it to several preachers. And one of the preachers, matter of fact, it was Brother Doug Castle. I asked him to read it, him and four or five other preachers. And I asked him, am I missing something? And Brother Castle, so gracious and so hard to get any type. He's afraid of sounding critical. But I said, please be honest with me. And he said, if you could add something about chivalry, it would be something that I think we're so lacking in this society. And I went back to the Word of God because I didn't want to force something in that wasn't taught. And of course, immediately the scriptures came that we are to teach treat elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters. Now, young men, listen to me. These gals around here, your sisters in Christ. Now, that's the relationship and that's the purity of mind which you ought to view them. God help you if you've let your mind become so wicked and vile and soiled by the things of this world that you can't look at a young lady around here without having filthy thoughts. I mean it. You need to repent of that. You need to get that right. You need to get victory over that because you've made yourself less by allowing that sin in your life. But they ought not to be treated that way. The younger as sisters with all purity. Psalm 18:35 says this, Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath hold me up. And notice this, and thy gentleness hath made me great. And the psalmist understood that greatness was granted according to gentleness. It's not something that's unmasculine to be gentle, especially towards women, to be a gentleman towards women. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. So a Spirit-filled young man understands gentleness. What is chivalry, preacher? It's probably best defined thus, the combination of qualities expected in an ideal knight. Courage, honor, courtesy, justice, and a readiness to help the weak. Courteous behavior, especially that of a man towards a woman. I'm going to help some of you young men right here. I can help some, by the way, I need to help some of you young men, not just teenagers, but young adult men. Listen to me. I watch a lot of things around here. Some of you have a poisoned view towards women. Some of you are way too unkind towards women. Some of you have this downward, scornful look towards women. You don't get that from the Word of God. In fact, you get just the opposite from the Word of God. Chivalry is the art of being a gentleman. And dads, moms, listen up as I kind of exhort the young men. We need to get back to training this in our young men. Part of becoming a man is learning the value of gentleness. A man who is secure in his masculinity has no problem extending to others proper courtesy and respect. Weak men bully others, striving to feel powerful by preying upon the weak. Real men are gentle towards others, displaying their strength by helping and defending the weak. Some of you young boys, it's just got the bully syndrome in you. Daddies, stop encouraging it and get them back in the woodshed and beat that out of them. It's no evidence of masculinity that they seek out people less than them, smaller than them, more frail than them, and that they exert power over them. If you've got the idea that that is you developing masculinity in them, you have no understanding of the Scriptures. Chivalry is a prerequisite to manhood. Now let me speak, and I'm reading some from the book on masculinity, but it starts with chivalry towards women, or gentleness towards women. A real man conducts himself with honor towards women. The first three verses of 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Bible instructs young men to treat the elder women as mothers. You give the ladies around here, the elder women around here, the same respect that you'd want to give your mom and what others expect others to give your mother. God help some of you, if any of you, I mean this, God help you if you mistreat your mom. Are you listening to me? I don't know what you think that makes you, but I'm going to tell you what it makes you in my eyes. God help you. I mean that. God help me. I pray God put me in the grave if I ever got mouthy or smart or cruel towards my mom. I pray, I'm saying it right out loud now. I pray God put me in the grave for it. Young men, listen to me. You treat these elder women around here with respect. You treat the young ladies as sisters with all purity. And by the way, you show special honor to widows because the Bible gives us instruction on the careful care of widows. Young men, let me give you some things. You should treat every woman with great respect, courtesy, and gentleness. Around women, your behavior should be beyond reproach. Don't be crude around them. Don't be boorish. Don't be disrespectful in the presence of a woman. Your words all the time, of course, should be careful. But around women, they should be especially careful, kind, and pure. Common courtesy, such as standing when a woman enters the room, holding open a door, giving up your seat, allowing her to go first, should be normal for any young man. Chivalry towards ladies should be honed within your own family. What's sad is sometimes a young man will, outside of their family, treat the girls pretty decent, go home, treat grandma, mom, and the sisters horrible. Your grandmother, your mother, your sister should be blessed to dwell in the presence of a gentleman. A young male who treats his female family members with disrespect and disdain is not a man, but an insecure little boy, no matter what his age is. Boy, did I say all that in this book? Man alive. Now, what's the goals here, preacher? What kind of young man should I aspire to be? Watch this. Young ladies should feel safe around you, sacred and special, when they're in your presence. You generate these feelings from them by the respect and regard you show towards them. Be kind to the young ladies, but not flirtatious. Be helpful, but not intrusive. And be pure in your thoughts and words and actions. One of the things that ought to be in the heart of every man and young man in this church is to always be protective of ladies. Never mistreat a lady or allow anyone else to do it in your presence. A young man should be prepared to die in the protection of his wife, his mother, or sisters. Chivalry would allow for nothing less. Chivalry protects the reputation of a young lady. Again, the Bible instructs you to treat the young women as sisters with all purity. A real man refuses to view women or young women as sex objects. When addressing a lady, his words are appropriate, his eyes looking only at her eyes, and his mind respectful and pure. By doing so, he not only protects his reputation, but also his own. Now, young men, I know, I mean, your extended family and circle of friends, I understand that sometimes you come in contact with unsaved people or people that claim to be saved, but they have a filthy view, an ungodly, impure view of women, and you hear that. I don't want you to be impressed by that. You're not being impressed by a man. You're being impressed by a little boy in a man's body that needs to grow up. Because he may be a man's size, but he knows nothing of being a gentleman. And so don't think those things are funny. Don't allow yourself to be influenced by those kinds. Some of you young guys are going to get up to age where you start getting out in the real day, work-a-day world, and you're going to hire on, and you're going to work with heathen men and lost men, and you're going to hear some vile things. And you know what? God help you if you join in on those things. You know, God help you to stand up to those things. Okay? See, every woman, listen to this, is somebody's grandmother, mother, wife, sister, or daughter. A gentleman understands this and treats them with the same respect he would expect other men to treat his female family members. Now, folks, listen to me. That's standard stuff three generations ago. But I'm telling you, it's hard to find gentlemen in today's society, and it's even a bit difficult sometimes even within the Church of Jesus Christ. God help us. Every young lady in this church is a princess. Every one of them is precious, a prized possession of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every Christian young lady should be treated like a princess. And so let's all together work very carefully on that. Number three, every Christian parent who has a Christian daughter is raising a princess. Isn't that a blessing? Cheryl told me that we were expecting our first baby. I was so excited. I went home, began to do a Bible study, diligently taking notes on everything that the Bible had to say about rearing a boy. Notebooks full of information. By the way, I'll sell that to you if you want it. And didn't work out that way. We got a precious little girl. And then number two came along, and I went and restudied the notes so that I would properly be prepared. And then number three came along. I didn't even bother looking at the notes. By then, I just surrendered. I want to say this, and sometimes people say, you know, Brother Jerry, would you have liked to have a son? And this is what I always say. I like having what God gave me. And I mean this. I've said this, and I mean it with all of my heart. It has been the joy of our life raising three daughters. It's been the joy of our lives. What a joy. I feel so blessed. I do. And if you only have girls, let me assure you of something. The boys will come. I guarantee you, in time, the boys will come, all right? Now, fathers, if God has entrusted you, and moms, listen up, but if God has entrusted you to rear daughters, rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Train them and teach them the way of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Raise them as royalty. What a responsibility. Because you're raising royalty, you're raising a princess. So don't succumb to the world's pattern. Don't worry about what is culturally acceptable or politically correct nowadays when it comes to young ladies. Hey, turn your back on worldly ideology, the worldly ideology of the women's liberals, and get back to emphasizing the principles of virtue found in Proverbs chapter 31. Every Christian parent who has a Christian daughter, you're raising a princess. Let me say this, number four, every princess is being prepared for a prince. And one of the things that I think me and my wife, honestly, really, from day one, was acutely aware of was that we were not raising our daughters for ourselves, but we were raising them to be a Christian queen of another castle, not our own. We raised them to kiss them goodbye. We raised them to hand their hand to another. We knew this. Let me remind every young lady who's here tonight, every princess, please let me have your hearts for a minute. God's will is for you to get ready, because God is preparing for you. Someday, your Heavenly Father, the King of Kings, is going to bring the one He's created for you. You need to spend your life getting ready for that moment, for that day. Some of the fathers and mothers in this room tonight are blessed to have daughters that still think boys are yucky. Count your blessings. Some of you have daughters that still believe all boys are infested with cooties. That's a good thing. Pray that it lasts as pray that it lasts as long as possible. Amen. But if we were to go back, and I won't tonight because we have of late, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, you'll understand the creation of Adam and the creation of Eve and God's original intent. And God's original intent was that a woman be made to be given to a man to be a helper meet for him, a help meet for him. And young lady, you're the purpose of your creation, God's original intent for your creation was that someday you would provide both companionship and inspiration and help to a young man whom God has called to accomplish something in this life. And so you ought to be very much aware of that. Don't miss it. God has someone. I wish I could get every young lady to believe this. I wish I could get you to just wholly by faith accept in your heart that God has created someone for you, and that a part of you is in that, a part of that young man is already in you. And you know what? I don't want to see you miss out on the perfect will of God. Every young lady, please listen to what I'm going to say. The devil will send a counterfeit before God sends the real thing. Don't fall for the counterfeit. But every princess is being prepared for a prince. So this is why we say and we teach and we train and we try to get folks to do this. But young lady, your teenage years are not for pursuit, but for preparation. You don't have to pursue. God will bring to you His young man in His time, so trust Him. Did you hear me? Trust Him. Okay? Every princess is being prepared for a prince. Let me give you this thought. Every princess, we've talked about the parents and their responsibility. Let me say this. Every princess needs a royal chaplain. Now, that's not on any of my stationery, and it's not on the business cards that my wife just ordered for me. I've never been referred to it, and I really don't care that it would start tonight, please. But in staying with our theme here, let me say this. Young lady, whether you believe it or not, you need a pastor. Every young lady needs a pastor. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. God has gifted you a pastor, and your pastor's been given to you by God to help your parents watch for your soul. Watch for your soul. So I'm going to stand behind the pulpit, and I'm going to teach you Bible principles that'll help you achieve Christian virtue and hopefully we'll build some royal character into your life. I'm going to warn you about the dangers, whether you listen to me or not. Many, many. Matter of fact, the vast majority of our young ladies let me be their pastor. I have some that won't. I wish you would, because whether or not you think you need me, you do. I will say this, if you look at my track record, when it comes to our young ladies, I watch for their souls. I watch for their souls. That's my job. The soul in the Bible is defined, by the way, young ladies, listen to this. What's that mean, preacher? The soul in the Bible is defined as the seat of your emotions. Girls, and let me say this, I married one and I raised three. Girls are very emotional creatures. And so you need parents that will watch for your soul, and you need a preacher that will watch for your soul. Be careful, young ladies, of your emotions overriding your good judgment. The world will tell you to follow your heart. If you rent the chick flicks, that's the message you'll get. If you read the Bible, you'll get this message, Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Preacher, how do I walk wisely? Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Part of your council of counselors ought to include your pastor. Parents, look up here and listen to me. Don't be so frail and insecure that you can't let your children come get counsel from the pastor. Did you hear what I said? Don't be so frail and insecure that you can't let your children, don't encourage your children to come get counsel from your pastor. I've known fathers that forbid their children to come and ask the pastor. And I know mothers that have forbid that. Let me say this, that's very foolish. Okay? Can I say this? That's arrogant. Your problem's pride. And pride cometh before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. That's not an area of your life where you want to see destruction. Preacher, you don't think that I can give them the right advice? I think you're a mama and I think you're a daddy. And you know what? They need a mama and they need a daddy. But you know what? I'm not their mama and I'm not their daddy. I'm their preacher. And they need a preacher's perspective too. I don't have the emotional ties and sometimes the, watch this, blind spots that every parent sometimes, I said every parent sometimes has. And so thank God that God's given you the gift of a pastor. And young ladies, please, I mean this. And I want to say this out loud because I am talking specifically about young ladies. But the policy of this church is that I do not counsel any lady or any young lady by myself in my office. If a lady or a young lady wants to get counsel, my wife will be with her in the same room the entire time. Matter of fact, I made it real easy for our assistant pastors here a while back. I just had a staff meeting, looked around the room, and said, I'm going to make this real easy for you as an assistant pastor here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, okay? Here it is. Listen up. If you're in an office by yourself with anybody that's not your mom, wife, or daughter, you're fired. Does that make it easy for you? They went, yes, sir. And I said, good. Amen. Are you listening to me, folks? But I want you to understand something. We do things right here. We guard very carefully our young ladies. But listen, let me ask you this question. What part does your pastor play in your life? Has the devil got you to the point where even when you sit down and listen to me, you're really not listening to me? I can't get your heart. I will protect it. I'll treat it sacredly. But you know what? You're robbing yourself of an important person that you need in your life. And so if I get accused of tooting my own horn, toot, toot, there it goes. But I'm magnifying my office, and I'm telling you the truth. The young ladies here need a pastor. They need a pastor. Young men here need a pastor. By the way, mom and dad, you need a pastor. Number six, every Christian castle has a determined and desperate enemy. Every home has a determined and desperate enemy. Now, no medieval story, and since we're staying with this theme, is complete without a fire-breathing dragon. When our granddaughters, back the two back there, frickin' frack back there, they'd come when they were real tiny, and they were just learning to talk, that the grandpa's job in those days was to read them books. Now Mariana's reading me books, but back then. And their favorite was Rella. They wanted me to read Rella. Okay, what's Rella? Say, oh, there you go. I mean, come on, there are two. Rella, Rella, Rella. And so we'd open the page, and they knew that on page 4 was the person they called the no-no. Okay? There's always the scary person, the no-no. And that's what they would say, a no-no, a no-no. Well, let me tell you something, folks. There's a real live no-no. There's a real live fire-breathing dragon. Young lady, there is someone that Revelation 21, verse 12, I'm sorry, chapter 12, Revelation verse 1, we read these verses. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And I understand that this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm going to say this. The devil's in the child-devouring business. He didn't win with Jesus, did he? That doesn't mean he doesn't try to still take out princesses and princes today. And you need to be aware of this. Young ladies, there is a very powerful being out there that does not want your story to end, and they and she lived happily ever after. And he's going to do everything he can to rob you of that. When your preacher and your parents stand up and warn you against sin and the world and the devil, you listen to them. Okay? Throw away that little stinking know-it-all attitude and listen to them. Because you know what? 14, 15, 16-year-old girls that knew it all are a dime a dozen. They've been in every generation, and you'll never find the happy ending of a story in their lives. And you're not going to be the first. And so, thank God that you've got a daddy that stands guard. Don't ever complain. Please, please, I hope you're getting this. Don't ever complain that your parents are too strict, that they've built too many barriers, too many walls. If you understood Satan, you know what? You'd be thankful for every single one of them. Throughout my life, I've had an opportunity, me and my wife, to minister to young ladies that didn't have castle walls and moats and gates. I went into Levi's wedding rehearsal night, and I walked in the back door of the rehearsal, and there was a lady up there that was practicing the songs that would be sung at his wedding, and she's in the middle of a song, and she stops, and she's got this big, strapping, good-looking son beside her, and they're singing a duet, and she stops and interrupts in the middle of a song and punches her son and points at me and says, "That's my bus captain." And I spent a good number of years of my life in inner-city Chicago work, and I can tell you this. I could introduce you, if you'd like to go up there, to 1,000 young ladies that wish they had a strict daddy. Well, I wish you'd listen to me. Some of you complaining about some things that some girls would give anything for. The devil's got you fooled. Wake up, girl, wake up. Thank God that your dad has enough sense to put some rules in your life. I mean that. I mean, you know what? The walls can't be built too tall, too thick, or the moat too deep. Because this is a practiced enemy that has destroyed some wonderful young ladies from some quality families, and don't you be the next one. So every castle, you remember this, has a determined and desperate enemy, and don't you fall victim to the devil. You stay in God's will, and stay in the castle, and stay under the authority of your parents, and seek out the will of God. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't fall under the influence of the carnal or wicked, because your entire future is ahead. I want to finish with that thought. Number 7, every princess who is here tonight can live happily ever after. Preacher, does that mean there's never going to be any heartaches or testings or trials or disappointments in life? No, because you know what? That is part of life. That's even part of a good life. I will tell you this, God's way is the best way. God's will is the best plan. You cannot make for yourself a better life than God already has planned for you. You'll never find outside the will of God the happiness that you would have found inside the will of God. Don't be sitting alone in some apartment at 27, 28, 32, 38, 44, wondering about the life that you could have had had you stayed in the will of God. Don't play the fool. Are you saved? Are you saved? If you are, then you're a princess. Does your life and your attitude reflect that of a godly princess? Are you determined to beat the devil by staying in the will of God and staying in the castle? Are you willing to allow your parents and your pastor to help you to find the perfect will of God and to protect you? I wanted to speak to this group tonight. They're very precious to me and my wife. You gals are, you young ladies are. By the way, you're very precious to your parents. And you're very precious to your grandparents, that many of who sit in this room. And I will say this to you too. You know what? You're very precious to this church. Okay? I thank God we've got a lot of men's men roaming around the property. I don't have to worry about being everywhere and watching out for every young lady, because I got a whole bunch of men around here snap some young man's neck like a twig if he looked wrong at one of our girls here. And by the way, you have my full permission to go ahead and do that whenever you feel the Holy Spirit leading you. Amen. Young men, you treat them well. Daddies, you treat these girls good. You treat them like what they are, princesses. Okay? Mamas, you raise them as if they were daughters of God lent to you for a time, because they are daughters of God lent to you for a time. Raise them with that awareness, that understanding. Young lady, I've got a whole church on board. Parents, grandparents, a pastor, I've got everybody on board. And yet the honest truth is, we can save you from everything but yourself. We can save you from everything but yourself. And if you don't listen, if you play the fool, life's longer than you might think. And there's a lot of years to regret what could have been. Or there's a lot of years ahead to enjoy what God intended for you to have. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would use what's been spoken tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, help me as a pastor, help our assistant pastors, help the men in our church as they help me in this. Bless every father, bless every mother. Thank you for the good parents we have at this church. Thank you for them, God. Pray, dear God, for our young men, and I appreciate when I see our young men being gentlemen. Bless them for that. Don't let them have their hearts and their minds poisoned by many things that are said sometimes by people that are ungodly or maybe just unwise. Now I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, to see and continue to see, turned out from this place, some young ladies that love God and serve Him and are pure and precious in your sight. The Lord, we dedicate them to you, and we ask your help, please, in Jesus' name.